My name is Chase Meyer, and this is my podcast, Climate Change. I'm making this podcast to bring awareness to one of the biggest issues we face today. Climate change is threatening to raise sea levels over 8 feet, worsen our air quality, and cause extinction of many different plant animal species. I'm interviewing one classmate and one of my teachers about climate change and its effect on the Earth to better understand what an average person knows about climate change. I believe that majority of people are undereducated on the subject, and this podcast is here to shed some light on that. My name's Chase, and this is my podcast. I'm interviewing Hannah over climate change. You can go ahead and introduce yourself.
Hi, I'm Hannah. I'm Chase's friend.
And past co-worker. All right, so to get us started off, do you think that climate change is a big issue?
Yes, it's a very big issue. It's destroying our world pieces by pieces.
Agreed.
Yes.
Do you think that it's talked about enough, like, among...
Oh, no.
What about our age? Do you think it's talked about enough?
No.
And older age, is it any different?
People think that climate change... Some people think climate change isn't real. Yeah. Can you believe that?
I know.
It's just like... It's destroying our world, and they're like, oh, no, it's not real.
Mm-hmm.
And... I think it needs to be talked about way more than what it is.
Do you think it should be talked about in school?
Oh, yeah. 100%.
I feel like it's mentioned, but definitely not talked about near enough.
I feel like if they talked about it more in school, kids would take it more serious and change their ways that they live their lives. And if they would have taught the older people... At a younger age, I feel like it would be a lot less than it is now. And everybody's going to be like, well...
So pretty much like as soon as we start teaching, I think it'll finally start picking it up.
And people are like, well, we need cars and stuff. And I'm like, no, you don't. Yeah. No, you really don't.
Are there any ways that you help like prevent or slow down climate change?
Well, I only use my car when I need to. I have a compost bin outside.
Nice. My mom's been doing that.
And then I have a recycling bin. I have a recycling bin. And recycling isn't really like climate change, but it will help a little bit.
Climate change is a broad.
Yes. And it will help clean up our earth. Yes.
Do you think it's too late to prevent climate change? Or prevent might not be the right word, but...
To prevent it, no, because we're already deep down in the hole, but change it.
And do you think we're going to be in this hole forever, or just stop digging, or can we get out, do you think?
I think we could get out if we started right now and like changed our ways, we could definitely get out. If we don't change it right now, we're going to be stuck there forever, I feel like. So, I think if we change something right now, we could get out.
Do you think that the Earth will ever be, or ever run on 100% renewable energy?
Not 100%.
Yeah, 100% is a lot.
But, like, there's a lot of people that are, like, doing solar panels and stuff like that, which is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And if more people did things like that, I think we would... And, you know, cars, they're starting to become electrical and just stuff like that. I think if we just started doing different and new things, we'll be fine. But 100%, I don't think we'll ever be 100%.
I'd say that's pretty hard.
Yeah.
Pretty impossible.
Yes.
Do you think that there's any chance, due to like the ice melting and stuff, that the sea levels will rise significantly?
Yes.
You think so? Like a lot of feet or not? Because I feel like it's predicted that it's a few feet.
Yeah, if it continues to melt the way that it is melting, we will definitely... A lot of places would definitely be underwater. And last year we had those floods and everything because of them melting. Or maybe it was the year before. But things like that are going to continue happening if we don't change right now. Or we should have changed forever ago, but we won't get into that.
Should the government... make a better effort at preventing climate change?
Yes. I think they should... I don't know what they can really do.
I don't know how they go about it, but I feel like definitely something needs to be done.
And we have Earth Day, but they don't. Not everybody does Earth Day. I think if they made people participate in Earth Day, if the light companies and everything turned everything off for a whole day, I think that would be great. That would definitely solve some of the problems.
Yeah. Do you think if we don't change anything that Earth will be unlivable?
Yes. One of these days is going to be unlivable. Because it's going south the way it is. And people are just making it worse. So if we don't change, it's definitely going to be unlivable.
This is my reflection over my first interview with Hannah. I think my interview with Hannah went well, but ended pretty shortly. It felt like an interrogation and didn't really have the flow of a conversation. I thought that I had good questions, but they were answered very quickly and didn't give me the answers that I was looking for. I felt that Hannah wasn't educated enough about climate change to give great responses. That's okay, because I think that the average person doesn't know enough about climate change to give good responses. When I interview Mr. Beecham, I am expecting the interview to be longer and more conversation-like, just because he knows climate change, kind of. I wonder how Hannah thought our interview went. When I was interviewing her, I thought she seemed a little nervous, but I which I can relate to, because I hate being on the spot, especially when while being recorded. I remember being interviewed for my first job and how nervous I was. Not that these two interviews are very similar, but I can imagine a lot of people, myself included, stretching for answers and being over climate change. And I think that's because the majority of people are undereducated on climate change. According to a test done by the Yale Project on Climate Change Communication, where testers are given an assessment based on how the climate system works and the causes, impacts, and potential solutions to global warming. And the participants were then given grades based on how well they did on the test. And less than 1% got an A, 7% got a B, 15% got a C, 25% a D, and 52% got an F. These grades show that not many Americans have a higher understanding of climate change. And they also reveal that there are many misconceptions among the American people on climate change. And these misconceptions are what's causing people to doubt climate change. Now, the participants were also asked if they thought schools should teach children about climate change. And 75% said yes, and 68% said that they'd welcome a national program that taught Americans about climate change. Now, I think that schools teaching about climate change is a good idea, and I'd be fine learning about it in school. When I interview Mr. Beecham, I plan on asking harder, more specific questions for longer responses, and hopefully just get Mr. B just going on a tangent, kind of. If I brought up the idea of climate change being taught in school, I think that he would love it, and he'd also probably love teaching it. I also think that he'd strongly agree with that the average person is undereducated on climate change. When I talk to him, or when I interview him, I want to respond and talk to him more to make it feel like a conversation and not an interview. My name is Chase Meyer. This is my podcast. I'm with my teacher, Kyle Beecham.
Hi there.
Would you like to introduce yourself?
Is this going to be listened to by anybody besides students and teachers?
No.
I think everyone knows me well enough.
All right. Well then, let's get this. Do you think that climate change is talked about enough amongst everyone?
No.
No.
Because it's really important, and if you don't talk about it, how important can it be? But I don't hear almost anybody talking about
it. Do you think that it should be that climate change should be talked about or just mentioned more in school?
Absolutely. I mean, it should be a key focus of your guys' curriculum, especially through middle and high school, because it's the future you're going to be dealing with. You have a little bit of say in how good or bad things go with it, but to some extent you're going to be your careers and lives are going to be affected by it. More careers will be focused on dealing with it, and
lots of like job opportunities in the future.
Yeah, I mean there's going to be lots of jobs in green energy, if you will, and lots of jobs in community resiliency, so that under cities don't get flooded like we had a couple of years ago, well, not that long ago. And, it needs to be thought of in school more. I think there's some politics that go into which states include things like that in their curriculum. It shouldn't be political. I mean, it's just scientific fact, and this is the future we're dealing with. So.
Do you think that, it's too late to prevent climate change? I mean, I guess. Let me rephrase that. I mean, you understand what I'm saying.
Like, I understand what you're saying, but I'm glad you're...
Because it's not like too late to prevent it, but because, I mean, it's kind of... We're already seeing some, like, effects of it and stuff.
It's too late to prevent any from happening.
Yeah. But do you think we can, like...
Too late to...
Save us, yeah.
No, it's not too late. It will be too late someday.
And do you think that day's coming up? You think it's...
Oh, it'll be in the next 10 to 15 years. And that number gets thrown around a lot, but that's really it. And what I think a lot of people don't understand about that number is that it's associated with, you know, a certain amount of CO2 emissions and thus a certain amount of global warming, like, locked in. But also, at some point, we have what are called tipping points. Have you heard the phrase tipping points or know anything?
I have not, but I think I can imagine.
It's one of the things you should learn in school. And so there's all sorts of ways, you know, there's nothing unnatural about CO2 or methane gas or anything. Mm-hmm. It's part of our ecosystem, and obviously, like, if you think about it a little less, I don't know, like, relax a little bit and just think about things, which is hard for me to do because climate change is really scary. But you think about it, all the fossil fuel material used to be in the carbon cycle. Like, it was part of the life on the planet at one point. The life that we have now didn't evolve with that carbon in the atmosphere. We've been releasing it back. That's the problem. There's nothing unnatural about these things, except the problem is... Know that the Earth itself and other systems in the Earth, not really directly controlled by people, can emit these greenhouse gases.
Yeah.
And if we warm the Earth enough, it might start to emit greenhouse gases in some other ways through these so-called tipping points. Hang on just a second. So, like, one of them is a really common one is, like, frozen tundra has trapped a lot of methane gas. But if we warm the Earth just enough, the methane gas is a really potent greenhouse gas.
Yeah,
it's bad news if you emit a bunch of it, which we already have done to some extent. But anyways, if we warm the Earth too much, then all that's going to thaw, and it's all just going to spontaneously emit, and it'll be hard for us to, like, rein control back in. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It would be nice if we could just warm the Earth up 2 or 3 degrees, and then in 30 or 40 years when it's more financially convenient, cool it back down, but that's not really an option.
Yeah, so over the past past decades, like, global temperatures have risen, and only by like around 2 degrees Fahrenheit. So, I mean, nothing like much. But do you think that's like a concern, like, global temperatures are rising?
Yeah, I mean, it's been measured and absolutely happened.
Like, I guess do you think it's a big deal that's risen 2 degrees?
I think,
like, that number seems so small. I think people don't think it's that big of a deal,
right?
But I can see this being, like,
well,
kind of scary.
Okay, well, yeah, so if you get to thinking about how very finely tuned each organism is in an ecosystem, first niche and you know, in terms of the process of evolution, or, you know, even for people that don't really subscribe to evolution, because there's some people around that don't really like evolution, then creation. I'm fine with it either way. But you have to recognize that everything alive is very well suited for the way things are. And if you go changing the way things are, it might not be so well suited for it.
Yeah.
And I mean, you don't have to look very far in all honesty to find situations where that marginal, trivial sounding temperature rise is already causing problems.
Mm-hmm.
So I've learned a lot about that over this past year in terms of lower corn production rates and all sorts of other things that are being adversely affected by the temperature already.
Yeah, I was learning in my fam foods class of how much livestock, how much like that, like, how much climate like
contributes.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, because that's like it's like the same like carbon emission.
Yeah.
It's like the same as like transportation.
Yeah.
Which is like that's like kind of crazy to think about.
Yeah, and it's mostly livestock.
Yeah.
Emits the same amount of greenhouse gas as. I should say livestock does emit as much greenhouse gas as our entire transportation sector, which, yeah, it's mind-blowing. And there's, in terms of policy, if you take yourself out of the problem for a minute and don't panic about not having beef cheeseburgers, then you can see, like, there's a lot of merit to trying to get the world to eat a more plant-based diet as long as it's nutritionally adequate, which I maintain that it is. And everyone else does. It's not just me. So you can get people the nutrients they need a lot more efficiently. And that's going to be a really big option for reining in greenhouse gas emissions, and one that we should definitely capitalize on.
Yeah. I was asking, what do you do, like, personally?
Because,
I mean, I feel like everyone kind of knows that you're...
Sure. I have mixed feelings about that because, like, part of me knows just, like, it's not practical for everyone in the world or even America to do what I do. So I'm still really focused. And the problem is also education. And, you know, it's been too little and too late. I thought as I became a teacher, like, I'm going to show my students and they're going to understand and then they're all going to be bike riding hippies someday. Not really that, but you know what I mean. I thought I would kind of inspire change, and that if enough people were doing that like things would change as needed. But, you know, we need change now, and that doesn't my career is in the future still, mostly, and certainly the lives of all my students that I've taught so far and will teach. So that's not the way to do it. It's too late for that. And, you know, environmentalists tried for years to get people to make personal changes, and that didn't really work either. So that all that said, I'm a big fan of smart policy, but the things I do include letting my house temperature wander up and down a little bit more than maybe the average person would. So I learned to be comfortable with it, getting up to close to 80-ish in the summer or down to, like, 64, 65 in the winter. So I think if you can tolerate a 15 or 20 degree swing inside, that really does a lot for reducing your energy demand in the home. Replacing your lights with LED lights in your house is a really big thing you can do, and trivial, and it doesn't feel like a sacrifice because now it's economical too. So there's all sorts of things like that, and then some things that are a little less pleasant for other people, but I do just ride my bike almost everywhere as much as I can. If I'm transporting my kid, I use the car occasionally, but I do use the bike sometimes, or more often, I would say. And then going to get groceries, I'll use the bike when I can, but I've gone to use the car. If we're taking a road trip, my wife's not going to ride her bike 150 miles down semi-busy highways, so we take the car. And, you know, that's kind of at the limit of what I can do in my personal life. But I ride my bike when and where I can, instead of taking a car, and, you know, try to eat a low carbon diet, I guess, in terms of greenhouse gases. I'm a vegan, so
yeah,
it's generally, I want to say it's close to cutting in half the carbon footprint of a diet, which is not a small part of a person's carbon footprint. So that mm-hmm. goes a long ways. What else do I do? Yes, like composting organic waste.
My mom started doing that too.
Yeah, that's awesome. Because mm-hmm. otherwise it just goes and sits in a landfill and anaerobically decomposes and emits methane gas, which is something like 2% of our total aggregate greenhouse gas emission right now. Yeah. So not a huge chunk.
Everything helps, you know.
Say again.
Everything helps.
Yeah, you know? Exactly. Everything helps. So, I really hope that most of all, the things I do will kind of show other people that it's really not that hard to make some small personal changes. I think most people could do what I do if they wanted to.
Yeah.
Maybe if you live far away, you can't ride your bike to work, but you can buy a house close to where you work so that you can, possibly. Mm-hmm. Anyways.
All right. Well,
what you got for me?
Yeah. So I think that wraps about up.
Okay. Cool. Well, thanks.
Nah, thank you.
Yeah, no problem.
This is my reflection to my second interview with Mr. Beecham. I think my interview with Mr. Beecham went pretty well. He did most of the talking and gave me a full answer to each question. He seemed very chill and relaxed, and I could have gone on for longer, but we were cutting into first hour, so I cut it short. I found it a lot easier talking to Mr. B than I did Hannah, and I think it's because I knew that Mr. B would have a intelligent answer, even if I asked a not-so-smart question. I didn't really have the flow of the conversation, and still seemed like an interview, but it didn't have the awkwardness that I felt with Hannah. The only thing I can really relate the second interview to is to the first one. I think that this one went a lot better and had better content, and it was also longer, which I really wanted because I thought the first one was too short. And I can't really compare this to anything else because I've never had to interview a teacher before, I've never had a project like this before, and I've never had an interview go that well before. During the interview, Mr. Beecham mentioned that we don't have long to fix climate change, and I think that he's right. He told me that he wanted to start teaching to inform kids of the environment and hope that it can make a difference. But he's now realized that doesn't really matter if he's teaching kids, because we need a solution now, and we can't really rely on the next generation. According to an article by the United Nations Meetings Coverage and Press Release, a speaker during a General Assembly high-level meeting said that we only have 11 years before irreversible damage from climate change is done. If we don't do something soon, we'll never get the chance to change it again, and I'm worried that we won't be able to make the changes we need in time. 11 years is not a very long time, and many people are probably unaware. Thankfully, I won't have to interview another person, but if I had to, I probably would interview another teacher. I think Mr. Barbosa would be a good, no matter the topic. He's a good person to talk to. And if I had to do a project like this again, I'd probably not pick climate change. I do think climate change is a very serious and very, very real issue, but it's not that fun to research and interview people over. I'd probably pick a topic like police reform and interview a cop. Thank you for listening to my podcast. I hope you enjoyed it. I want to thank Hannah and Mr. Beecham as well. They're both a big part of this. I also want to thank Ms. Cooper and Ms. Knoll for helping me along the way. Unfortunately, there will not be a second episode to my podcast, but you can listen to Reese's podcast on climate change if you're looking for more. Thank you all again, and remember to stay informed on climate change.